Hi. Hello, my name is Brendan Romanzik. I'm 21 years old. Today is Monday, April 2nd, 2018, and I'm talking with my grandmother, so yeah, I miss that one. And we're recording this interview in Madison, Alabama. All right, so you were telling me about your parents' mining cooperative and how it was all set up, and the ingenious kind of things that, you know, Bisabuelito put together, if I'm allowed to call him that. And, you know, how they made that life work out there in Ojuela Mapimi. Is that the right order?
Ojuela. Durango.
Durango. Out there in the mining town. So, just keep going.
I have read some mining, some American mining families. And they complain that it is hard life they have, but I live with my grandpa and my grandma and my father's family in a mining town, and it is a lot worse than the one that I was reading about Virginia. It was really the way they live with each other, they help each other and organize themselves, that they were able to survive working with in a very primitive way, and they kept on working the mines after the Peñoles, an American company, left.
All right, and so the next question is going to be, how did that mining cooperative that my great-grandfather started, how did it run?
Well, the mining company was an American company, the Peñoles, and they left because they were not getting as much or as they were used to it, and they just left it. But the families remained there and just made it work with less than the bare necessities, and but it was difficult to protect what they were getting in the mornings, because of they will dig one morning and they expected to take their ore the next day out of the mines, but then another group of people will come and steal it. So they thought and thought about it, and it's amazing because they were not educated people. They were just run-of-the-mill miners, but they investigated and they decided to form a co-op, and then they had to send somebody to be approved by Mexico, the capital where there's the secretario de Minas, and they had to find somebody, and my uncle went all the way to Mexico City, and it took him a year to get all the papers done, and then he came back, and then just it was legal for them to close the mines when they were not working, so nobody was stealing their product that they got in the mornings. And like I said, it is at the time that my uncle was trying to organize this in Mexico City, they didn't have any money to survive, so they just escaped the hills and for the things that they could find, like pieces of wire and pieces of wire made of copper and things like that. And thus, they collected it, the whole town, and they sent it to the city, and that's how they surviving. I imagine that was maybe just tortillas and frijoles, and probably not every day. It was really, really hard work. But once they got the papers from the secretario de Minas, then whatever they were working, they kept for themselves. And by a few years after they kept that one, they were able to buy a truck, one of those flatbeds. And then by the time I was born and I left that place, they had three trucks. So when it's not a big salary, but they subsist with it. Not exactly well, but it's a job. They make caldo, you know, which is pieces of chunk bread, meat, and then maybe this much of cabbage, but they chunk it. Don't mince it, just chunk it. And then a couple of potatoes, if they have turnips, a couple of turnips, potatoes, turnips, green cilantro, and a little spoonful of rice. Corn, if you have, maybe one corn, you chunk it in little pieces like this. And in a big pot, if the family is big, a big pot and lots of water, and it boils and boils and boils. Well, it tastes good.
Yeah, and boiling is a way to get as much nutrition as possible.
And they always have that, and then they have a pasta, but the pasta that they do up there, they're not like here. You know, I have here little stars and little O's and lots of little. You fry those until they get golden, not brown, just gold. And then you put water. You don't use chicken broth. Water and pepper and tomatoes and onions and salt, and let it boil until it is so soft. And it depends on how many you have and how much you put there, that you make it watery so that everybody has a little bit or not.
And then what they call it?
Sopa.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just
And it's different. Oh, in very special occasions, you serve rice. Rice that you get, you know, you put your rice in water until it gets very white, and then you get it fried until it's golden brown, but not brown, really just kind of gold. And then you throw onions chopped and tomatoes chopped and garlic garlic and pepper and water. Water again.
Yeah.
Don't let me tell you that I use a broth. And it boils and boils. You know how much water you put so that it gets done. And it gets kind of pinkish, the rice. And it doesn't get broken. It's just the rice is
puffy and maybe cracked.
Beautiful, yeah. And really good. That's on a special occasion. And you don't ever make fried chicken, because you're not going to serve a piece of chicken for everybody. I'm talking about my family, you know, the people in that part of economic situation. Now, in a very special occasion, when you make rice, you make mole. You boil your chicken until it's just kind of, it is very soft. And you don't cut it in pieces, you know, just this is an elegant dinner, okay, that you have a little bit extra money. The legs go one at a time, and the sides one at a time, and then the breast in two, you know, one, and then the box. Oh, and you don't ever leave that chicken without cleaning it. Exactly. I mean, you leave the bare bones, even the neck. You separate it and take everything. I mean, everything. And then that you put your mole in it. So you, but that's when you can afford to give one piece
at everybody.
Each. If you cannot, then you might make money and you peel the chicken and put it in itty bitty pieces so everybody has a piece of chicken. So that's what you eat like that. And so, you know, this guy just left his town and sometimes there was no, they show you different kind of people, and one of them sometimes eats, sometimes doesn't.
Mm.
He opens his lunch box in the school, away he sits away all the time, and he opens it and then he stays there and then he closes it and never has anything in the lunch box. And he tells you, you know, he has a wife and then he has a boy and a girl, and they decide, I think they are in trouble, and they decided if they go to his mother, maybe he can leave them there, and then he goes and he doesn't have any plans in abandoning them, okay? And so they're fighting, they start fighting. Anytime that you don't have enough money, there's problems between husband and wife.
Yeah.
And many times they just separate and divorce because of that. Well, they're fighting, and the girl is the oldest, the daughter is the oldest. She tried to stop them, and then all of a sudden they have an accident. The father died immediately, and the woman is quadriplegic, doesn't move anything, doesn't talk, does nothing, absolutely nothing, but is alive.
How did people become quadriplegic in mining accidents or anything? And how did you deal with people getting injured really badly? And
usually it's some kind of spinal damage when they're quadriplegic. But they feel a lot of stuff. And you know, I mean, you have to give them full care.
Mm.
So they come and get them, and then she's in the hospital, and he dies and everything. And then they have a super woman. I mean, super. She has a little house, and it has land, beautiful land, and it's big. And she has garden, so they have to eat, you know. She has chickens, and I think she has a pigs or something like that. But, I mean, she's not rich.
But she could farm.
Yes. I mean,
did you guys keep a farm?
Hmm?
Did you guys keep a farm, or was the ground too
out there?
Yeah, too dry and rocky.
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing grew.
Nothing. It was just rocks and rocks and rocks. You know the people.
Rocks on rocks on rocks.
Yeah, the people have pots in their houses.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, you know, because they recycle.
And they grew
everything.
One little plant. Yeah.
And it is like painting tins with their head paint, or cans from and then a dingy little plant, and with a baby, because if between two rocks there's a little bit this much dirt, you get it out and put it in. I mean, they do the best they can, and my aunt, the one that her husband went to Mexico City, she had a chicken house. As long as this room and half the width, and it has beautiful rooster. I don't know where she got it from. It looked like I used to think it was a fighter, a rooster, one of those for fights.
Yeah.
It attacked anybody who went in. The only one that who could get in the chicken house, and because my uncle could beat whatever you ask him. That had chicken wire. Not this chicken wire, the other one that looks like Octavanos, like this. and he had posts and a gate and everything, and then in the back he had the places where the chickens lay their eggs, and he built a an incubator.
Yeah.
And he put his eggs right there for chickens, and he had chickens.
Wow.
I mean, I'm telling you, my family were not dumb.
Yeah.
And they didn't go to school because they didn't. Anyhow, so this woman had all that. And the house is kind of, well, you know, it has the bedroom for her, and a bedroom for the little girl, and a bedroom for the boy, and the bedroom for the lady. Mm. And it had the kitchen and kind of like a sitting area. So. But not furnished beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything was old.
Mm.
But she worked like a, she had a shotgun.
Yeah.
And she knew how to use it. And she, because there was this guy that was signed, it was very angry at her because she didn't want to sell her land.
Mm. Yeah.
And you know what the charcoal people do?
Mm-hmm.
The people
no.
that call people, they go, they buy farms that are up in the mountains.
Oh, and strip mine them?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But they buy farms. I mean, there's people in this good dirt, and there's trees, and I mean, it's a living.
Yeah.
And I got so furious when I read that. I knew that.
Because it's wasteful, right?
It's a crime, hijo, because they go with bulldozers. They don't even cut the trees and sell them. They just bulldoze everything, and everything goes down the hill.
Yeah.
So who gets first damage? The people down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's one thing.
Yeah, you would have killed for that, at to have just that nice dirt and that nice land.
Yeah, and then after that, they start dynamiting.
Mm.
That's on the top, and they wash the coal, and everything goes down.
And so, the yeah, nasty I mean, stuff off the coal.
They're just destroying the top. They're destroying all the surrounding areas.
Mm.
And that's this company.
Didn't great grandpa get black lung eventually?
Oh, they do have what do they call it?
Miner's lung?
No, that's not coal. This is that's called miner's mm-hmm. lungs, the black lungs. This is scoliosis? No, not scoliosis.
Scoliosis wait. The spine.
Yes. Ha! It still is the lungs. You know,
not a sarcoma. It's not
no,
a...
No.
Is it cancer or...
No, it is lungs. The lungs are dirty, very dirty, but it is not cold, so it's mm. not the same. But
it's
still, like my father got pneumonia and died.
Mm.
Well, sure, his lungs don't answer the same way.
Yeah.
Normal.
If he lost the capacity, he lost it all. Yeah.
And they're very easy for whatever.
Yeah.
And his case was extreme. So he died.
How far back can you trace his family line?
All the way to his father only, and I don't know much about his father.
Okay.
Because...
Was one of them an Indian somewhere along the way?
No. I mean, the whole... My grandmother and my grandfather from my father's side, they came from Zacatecas, and the people in Zacatecas are very, very... Indian-like, the poor people, Indian-like. My father, if you put him on his, you know, on white cotton pants and his huaraches and a hat, because he doesn't use white cotton pants, he looks like an Indian.
Mm.
My grandmother had straight black hair.
Yeah.
And she parted right here, bring it right here, and she had braids down to here. And she always wore a rebozo. She didn't go anywhere without her rebozo, and she would cover her head. And on Sunday she had a chalice just like a rebozo, but it's made of silk, a transparent silky fabric. Mm. But all the time, they never went anywhere without the rebozo.
What's the rebozo? I've never seen it before.
Like those things that I put on my shoulders.
A shawl, a serape?
Uh-huh. Mm. But they're made of material.
Yeah.
And there's the same color, all that. There's kind of like navy blue or black with the speckles of white, itty bitty speckles. And the girls, when they want to be fancy, they have colors in there.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a long time ago, and my grandmother, up until I was born, and she still did that.
Yeah.
She never got out of it.
Did you ever see the Indians? There were Tarahumara real nearby.
Oh, yeah, they come down. They live in La Sierra Tarahumara.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have towns where they live, and they're primitive also. They're hunters. They're excellent runners. Mm-hmm. I mean, excellent. They
ran in huaraches, right?
Yeah.
They just ran in sandals.
Real huaraches, thick, very difficult to wear them, and they can wear, they can go barefoot also, and they can run just the same way. They have a pelota game with huaraches, you know, and it's not like in the field. I mean, it's from town to town in the Sierra. I mean, it's very one
involved.
American went up there, and sat to watch them, and then he picked some and convinced them to come with him, and he brought them to Colorado, I think, somewhere, and they.
Did you see him or just hear about it?
No, he wrote it. He wrote the book about the runners, and he wanted to. Well, Mexico sent one Tarahumara to the Olympics, and they put him on tennis shoes, and he couldn't run. What, stupid? Let him go barefoot.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, stupid rules.
Mm.
The Addis Ababa also sent a runner barefoot, and they didn't let him run. And my God, you don't see those guys dust. Not even the dust when they run.
Yeah.
But I see. This guy bought them like corn and, you know, big sacks of things and gave them to their families, and he brought them up here. But he also brought food for them, chiles and corn and the things that they eat, because he made a mistake to bring them without their food, and they were getting sick.
Yeah.
So they sent for food, and the people will laugh at them, but boy, do they see them running, and nobody could match them at all.
Mm.
But it requires too much to make a real team out of that. You take them out of their environment.
And they didn't fare so well.
Well, you know, like the kids they bring what do they bring baseball players?
Costa Rica. La República Dominica?
The República Dominicana. You know what they do with them? They go and hire them.
Mm.
And of course they pay them nothing.
Yeah.
And they don't teach them English at all. Not even the basic things that you need when you're playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in a motel, and they don't tell them not to get the
mini bar.
And they don't tell them where they can go get things that they will like to eat. I mean, they just throw them in there. How on earth? I mean, that's enough. When I was growing up, you didn't say good morning to anybody if you were not properly introduced.
Mm. What about those people on the street in that city? You said they said, buenos dias, bien adios to you. They were super polite.
This is long time ago. I am already 20-some.
Mm.
And the way your voice goes and what you said, it tells you very, like this, you catch it. I was going down the hill kind of fast, and I saw a bunch coming. I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do? I never been in my, out of my house that early in a completely different town. And then they're walking, I mean, also very on the walk has purpose. You know, they're walking and they go like this. When the head says, Buenos días, señora. Buenos días, le de Dios, señorita. All of them. I mean, everybody. I thought, oh, God, I'm not walking by myself.
Was it polite or too polite or too
that
friendly?
Is very polite. That is, you know, they're all people. You're very young and they have to, you know, acknowledge that they saw you and you're okay. Mm.
What year would this have been, roughly?
Let's see. Oh, I was going to my first year of teachers, school for teachers, 81, uno, dos, 82, maybe 84 or
84.
85.
Mm-hmm. So that's not really that long ago.
Lo and behold, the second time I fell down. All I did, I made the whole hill down, and then I got to, maybe they were 5 blocks, and mijo, when you're afraid, 5 blocks is too long. And I get to this corner, and right there is the park, and in if I go kitty corner like this, right there is the school, and the park is big. It's a full block.
Yeah. So what year did you have mom?
You know, all the factories and place that they go with their sirens,
mm-hmm.
6 o'clock. And guess what? My class started at 6 o'clock. And right by my, this side I saw, this is a corner. In this corner there was a boy waiting for the light.
Mm.
Nobody was here. I cross from here to there instead of going like this and like this because I needed to get there, okay? And nobody was here. And I started running when I hit this corner and I just made it like from here to, okay, to the door. And I just went down on my knees and I had any shoes. And this is the one. Yeah.
What year did you have mom?
Huh?
What year did you have mom? Like, what year? Because she was born in 68,
uh-huh.
Which, you know, kind of answers the question, but I was hoping to hear it from you.
Yeah, in 68, she was born.
So did you go back to Mexico in 84? Or would this have been...
No, that was in 1980, son.
Mm.
I graduated from high school in 81. Arlene was born in 98.
I was born in 96.
No, wait a minute. No, that's not true. No. 51, I graduated in 51 in elementary school. And then
okay.
1, 2, 3, 51, 54, 56, 57.
So this would have been 64?
It's after 57.
Okay.
When I was in Chihuahua. And then I had a dress, okay? And remember I told you from this one I saw a guy up here, and I saw him running. I said, he crossed. He was waiting for the light. He didn't wait anymore. He just crossed. And he says, what happened? Let me help you. And he put his arms behind me and tried to, and I lift up my, oh, blood. And then he looked at it and said, oh.
How bad was it?
No, it was just a...
A big scrape.
See?
I'm still there. Wow.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I got infected. Really bad. And when he was looking and he went, oh! I heard a scratch, brakes, and it was a little Jeep. and two policemen jumping a second like that. I mean, the screech and the guys being next to me, it was like 1 second. What did you do to her? Like, nothing. She fell down. I said, no. He's helping me. I just fell down. And then he said, oh.
So which city was this? Chihuahua?
In Chihuahua.
Okay.
Because I had gone 2 years to Mexico City, and all I did was just lingo. Anyhow, so...
We were talking about the PRI. Were they in power yet?
Oh, the PRI came farther away before that.
Earlier?
Yeah. Oh, the PRI... Pre.
Yeah.
El PRI... Oh. See, we were communists when I was 4 years and a half, because that's when I went to school. Not that there was a grade for me, but I went to school.
Mm.
And then, and I don't know how long we stayed, but we left that town when I was six and a half, and they took me at six, they took me to school to see if they would take me. Already, the thing had already started the year. And then he says, ¿cuáles son los puntos cardinales? In my life, I hadn't heard puntos cardinales, but I knew what was north and south and east and west. You know, I knew that. And I said, what? And she told me again, and I look at my mommy, and she wasn't going to help me. And I could read a few things because I had been to school when I was there, and they don't have, but they give you a little book of, how do they call them, primaries or something?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I could read, mi mamá me ama, amo a mi mamá, mi niño, amo a mi niño es mío, you know. There's things like see somebody run, and you know, like that.
Mm.
And what I could have done in first grade, well, they put me with when I went to school, because I didn't answer, they didn't get me there. I had to wait until they started the year. And of course, they test us to go to school. And they put me with the kids that were repeating classes.
They didn't elaborate on what they meant by puntos cardinales?
No, they just because I was, they could have put me with the regular kids. But no, because I knew too much. They assumed I was repeated.
Mm. Instead of just new to it, yeah.
But anyhow, that's I had a very, very how do you call it? Oh, they loaded me into the jeep and he says, we're gonna have to take you to the Red Cross. The Red Cross up there is first aid.
Yeah.
In the street, you know, their little offices like this, doctor in the hall or whatever.
Yeah, to try and fix the leg.
And then I look at him, you know, the helper, and he says, yeah, they will take you. Well, yeah. I'm new, you know. So they did almost carry me, put me in the jeep, and they took me up there. And then the doctor came to see me, and then he says,
Do they have supplies and everything? How did it get septic or, you know, just infected? It's bad luck.
He just, a nurse came, no, doctor didn't come, a nurse came, and then she washed it kind of like with water, but she was so nervous, she didn't pick the rocks.
Mm.
And I had many, many little rocks right there. So she said, I had to come back to see the doctor, because she just was not sure if I needed some stitches or what. So, okay, so here I go. My mother would have give her a good lesson of anything. My mother was super nurse. She sure was. And so, and if she had gone to to Vietnam too would have come a doctor. Well, you know that the nurses in Vietnam did many things.
Mm.
That when they came here, it was really bad for them because they, well, they, like my mother said, you don't need a nurse, you need a cleaning lady. She told them.
Mm.
He says, I have a ward all for me. I deliver the babies. He said, oh, no, we don't deliver babies here. The doctors do that only.
Mm.
So I said, bye. And she left. So I went the next day, and the doctor said, no, no, a doctor saw me. He says, no, I'm going to send you home, and I want you to come tomorrow morning to see the doctor so he can clean that. He can clean that. He wanted the doctor to clean. And they put me with a nurse, and she didn't clean.
Mm.
And I told her, I said, the doctor said that they had to clean me really good. He wanted the doctor to do it with. I did already. We'll tell the doctor tomorrow. And I went again, and he had to clean. He says, nobody cleaned. I said, no, nobody did. I said, the first doctor that saw me wanted the doctor to do it, and yesterday, the nurse just cleaned it around.
So that's the foreign object thing.
And I said, and this looks really bad. And it was like this, really, really swollen.
Mm.
I couldn't put my tennis shoe. Well, I put it in, but it didn't have shoelace. I had to take it off. And so here, he cleaned it up, and he did one stitch only, didn't do much. And I spent the whole summer
recovering
with my leg on the chair. Oh, because she said, you're going to go home and keep your leg up. I said, I'm going to school. And then she said, well, I don't know how. I said, well, I don't have to walk that much. I said, I'll get a taxi. And then the classes are not really crowded, so I can have a chair with my leg. And if I get tired, I will stand up from time to time. And he looked at me, and he just didn't feel comfortable. And then like, every time I say something, he would put a butt, you know. And again, I said, listen, I have lost 2 summers because I just thought it was fun to go just to visit, and I stay here because I thought I wouldn't go miss my time. I said, let me go. I promise I'll take care of it. So he said, okay, but you're going to come here for dressing changes, and if I see it worse, you'll have to quit.
Yeah.
But no, and I will have somebody to help me go from class to class. And
how much school did you have left?
Huh?
How much school did you have left?
Well, we started that the first day I did. And then this guy said it was very, that we had a lot of funny guys in my class. And this one called me the white horse. Because there's a song that it says, El Caballo Blanco que dejó Sonora, and it went all the way up there. And it says, somewhere in between, from Guadalajara to the north, to the border, he was limping. And de la parte izquierda, and that, my izquierda. And cada vez que me veía, me cantaba la canción.
You just sang it every time you came, yeah.
But then I finished, but I still got home, and I still had, they had to give me penicillin because of the nurse that didn't
clean it up,
do nothing with it.
Yeah, it would have been really difficult to get through things if you'd lost the whole leg.
Oh, God, you imagine? Ooh. But it was just funny. The kid is, I didn't do nothing, I'm helping you.
Was it just a bad hospital, or was it just that an unlucky
that
nurse?
That particular nurse.
Yeah.
She just got there. It probably was new.
I mean, how did they get their jobs?
I don't know, mija. Well, I guess the same way I got mine.
Yeah, you said somebody helped you out with your teaching position. They said the teaching was supposed to be a nice position, right?
No. I was in what do they call it? I forget things.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to new in a hospital here, they
resident?
assign you to a nurse, an old nurse, or a nurse that's been there for a long time, and you work with her first. And some of them are very abusive, but
are they head nurses or
no?
What's the charge
a nurse,
there?
A nurse, mm-hmm. The staff nurse. No, the charge nurse interviews you and then he assigns you to one that she thinks you're going to get along with,
mm-hmm.
and she's good at doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you follow her around and you see her doing, she tells you how long you're going to follow her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she will give you one patient, and then she'll give you two, and then she'll give you three, and then she'll give you the whole cupboard.
Yeah.
And she walks with you all the time. But I didn't have one. When I started, they gave me an LPN. And I was going to complain about it, okay? And I saw her working. I thought, no, heck no, I like this one. LPN could clean the floor with a few of the RNs.
Look at it.
Yeah.
Well, what does that stand for?
She was really good. And then...
What's the acronym, LPN? LPN?
An LPN is a licensed practical nurse. That's nothing.
And does it not mean it's not the same as RN?
No. She'd
just been doing the work and she didn't have the degree?
Uh-huh. And then later on they made them go to school for 2 years. But
they made it official, yeah.
But those 2 years when they go, when they transfer from LPNs to the regular RN school, they just give them 1 year good.
Mm.
So she is not, there were many things that they couldn't do, and they had an RN to back them up.
Yeah.
So if they had to take stitches off, she had to go call her backup nurse, an RN.
It's like IV. A PA is to a doctor as a...
Oh, no, a PA is a lot more.
Oh, a PA can do a ton more, but compared
but
to a doctor...
Yes.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
No. I mean, the difference between PA and doctor is not as big as LPN.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they started giving classes to do IVs and offer them to the LPNs.
So like midwives, but less specific?
Oh, no, midwives is a lot, another whole class on their own. Yeah, we had a lot of LPNs. It's like,
mm-hmm.
I think we were trying to do things like England, because we do a lot of things that are copied from Europe,
mm.
more than from here.
Yeah.
And
because England had the NHS probably even back then.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had El Seguro Social, and what's the other one? They would have to, El Seguro Social tiene a federal and a state.
Mm.
The municipal don't have.
Yeah.
They are not allowed to die. And when they started, the federal was really good. The
mm.
clinics, they had hospitals.
Top-notch, yeah.
And the clinics were very well staffed, very good nurses.
Mm-hmm.
And the state was less, but it's still good. And still the doctors practiced on their own. And they had to work in the federal or the state also. Not that they had contracts with the state and with the federal, but they had their own patients too.
Mm.
you know, they like work a few hours in the morning in those hospitals, and then they always by themselves in the afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
But but anyhow, I finished my year and I did it good, and then I went the second year and I did good also, and then I got married.